Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Brian Lynn, Dorothy Gundy, and Pete Musto. Later, Steve Ember will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, here is Brian Lynn.
Instagram is a hugely popular way for users to share pictures, videos, and messages with family and friends. The social media service is estimated to have more than 1 billion active monthly users worldwide. Most people use the service on their mobile phones. Now, Instagram users are able to use the service for a completely different activity: reading books. The New York Public Library recently launched a new service called Insta Novels. This new offering will include a collection of classic books through Instagram. The service is available to all Instagram users, not just people in New York City. Library officials have promised to provide readers with some of the greatest stories ever told. Lewis Carroll's Alice's Adventures in Wonderland was the first on Instagram. The New York Public Library said this famous story was specially designed for Instagram to include colorful animations and modern drawings. The books can be found in Instagram Stories. This Instagram feature was designed to let users post photos and videos that would automatically disappear after 24 hours. But then Story Highlights was introduced last year as a way for users to keep content in stories for as long as they want. Books posted by the library will be available through Story Highlights. Reading works similar to many other e-reader services on personal devices. Users can touch different areas to turn pages or bring up additional content. The New York Public Library also has its own e-reader app, and Insta Novels will also be available on it. Library officials say the main purpose is to raise awareness about reading in general. But it is also designed to show how the library is changing to fit an online world and appeal to younger people. Christopher Platt, the New York Public Library's chief library officer, spoke about the service to the Wall Street Journal. "We want people to understand that libraries aren't just those brick and mortar places full of dusty books," he said. The library has already lined up several other classic works to be released on Instagram in the coming months. These include The Yellow Wallpaper, a short story by Charlotte Perkins Gilman, and The Metamorphosis by Franz Kafka. I'm Brian Lynn.
In the American state of Minnesota, Hmong farmers are working together to grow their farming businesses. The Hmong are an ethnic group from East Asia. They have never had a country of their own. They moved to Vietnam and Laos from China in the 18th century. After the Vietnam War ended, many Hmong settled in the United States. This has given the U.S. the largest Hmong population outside of Asia. The northern state of Minnesota is home to more than 60,000 members of the community. The Hmong have worked in agriculture for hundreds of years. So when they reached Minnesota, they began farming there. By the late 1980s, they were helping to re-energize local farmers' markets, especially in the city of St. Paul. But the Hmong found out that, as immigrant farmers, they faced barriers to buying land, getting financing, getting access to markets, and building family businesses. They were struggling. Then, in 2011, a group of Hmong farmers launched the Hmong American Farmers Association, a nonprofit group. Paco Hang is one of the group's founders. She said, "One of the reasons why HAFA was created was because the Hmong farmers were experiencing so much uncertainty. They didn't always have access to land." She said that lacking guarantees on land use makes it difficult to invest in things that bring higher profits, such as organic fruits and vegetables. At the center of the HAFA is a 63-hectare farm outside of St. Paul. There, member farmers can use 2 to 4 hectares of land for long periods to grow vegetables and flowers. On a recent Friday, Mao Mua and her husband were harvesting vegetables on their plot of land for a farmer's market. The Muas were among the large number of Hmong people who fled Laos for Thailand and eventually the U.S. in the 1970s. Since their arrival, they have been farming in Minnesota and, in recent years, on the HAFA membership farm. Mao Mua says she enjoys working with the other farmers. "I like farming on the HAFA farm because this is a Hmong association," she said. "There are Hmong workers who help us. They are like our hands, eyes, and ears. I like there is also water, electricity, and the food hub." The food hub is the name for HAFA's alternative markets program. It gives local businesses the chance to buy produce directly from HAFA farmers. Cao Yang is the food hub's operations manager. He said the hub sells fruits and vegetables to schools, restaurants, and other businesses. They also have a community-supported agriculture program with around 350 members. Each member receives a weekly supply of produce. I'm Dorothy Gundy.
British scientists have found how a substance in the cannabis plant acts in the brain to reduce abnormal activity in patients at risk of psychosis. Their findings suggest that the substance could be used in a possible treatment for the condition. Cannabis, also known as marijuana, is illegal to grow, sell, or use in many countries. Using powerful forms of cannabis can increase a person's chances of developing psychosis. But the substance the researchers studied, the chemical cannabidiol, appears to have the opposite effect. Cannabidiol, or CBD, is non-intoxicating. That means it is unlike drugs or alcoholic products, which can affect the user's judgment or behavior. CBD is the same cannabis substance that has also been shown to help patients with epilepsy, a disorder of the nervous system. This led to the approval in the United States of a cannabis-based drug, a specially processed form of CBD, in June. Earlier research at King's College London had shown that CBD seemed to block the effects of tetrahydrocannabinol, the intoxicating substance in cannabis. But how this happened was a mystery. Now, King's College researchers say they have more evidence of the health benefits of CBD. Shagnik Bhattacharya and his team gave 33 young people capsules containing the substance. All 33 subjects were experiencing signs of psychosis, although they had not been shown to have the full-blown mental condition. The researchers studied images from the brains of the young people. They found that taking CBD capsules reduced abnormal activity in three areas of the brain: the striatum, medial temporal cortex, and midbrain. Abnormal activity in all three areas has been linked to the development of psychotic disorders, such as schizophrenia. Most current antipsychotic drugs target the chemical dopamine. The brain uses dopamine to send signals from one nerve cell to another. But CBD works in a different way. One major difference is that the body has an easier time dealing with CBD than other substances. CBD is less likely to cause harmful side effects, such as weight gain and other health problems linked to existing medicines. Bhattacharya told the Reuters news agency, "One of the reasons CBD is exciting is because it is very well tolerated compared to the other antipsychotics we have available. There is an urgent need for a safe treatment for young people at risk of psychosis," he added. The Institute of Psychiatry, Psychology and Neuroscience at King's College now plans a 300-patient clinical trial of CBD as a treatment. Researchers plan to start identifying subjects for the clinical trial in early 2019. The latest findings show the complexity of the combination of chemicals found within the marijuana plant. They come at a time when many countries are beginning to make their laws against cannabis less severe. I'm Pete Musto.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. I'm Steve Ember. We begin the story of the presidency of George W. Bush. His first term came to be defined by the worst terrorist attack against the United States in the nation's history. George W. Bush had been in office for less than 8 months when the events of September 11th, 2001 took place.
A plane has crashed into one of the towers of the World Trade Center.
Good Lord, this is just a horrific moment.
The day is remembered as 9/11. On that morning, 19 Al-Qaeda terrorists hijacked four large passenger airplanes on the East Coast. The planes were flying to California, so they were heavy with fuel. Each group of hijackers included a trained pilot. American Airlines Flight 11 had just left Boston, Massachusetts, when five hijackers seized control of the plane.
Is that American 11 trying to call?
We have some planes. Just stay quiet and you'll be okay. We're returning to the airport.
American 11, are you trying to call?
Number three in the back. The cockpit's not answering. Somebody's stabbed in business class. And I think there's mace that we can't breathe. I don't know. I think we're getting hijacked.
Nobody move. Everything will be okay. If you try to make any move, you'll danger yourself and the airplane. Let's stay quiet.
Shortly before 9 o'clock, the hijackers crashed the Boeing 767 into the North Tower of the World Trade Center in New York City.
A plane has just crashed into the World Trade Center. It happened just a few moments ago.
The World Trade Center, Tower number 1, is on fire. The whole outside of the building, there was just a huge explosion.
Five other hijackers seized United Airlines Flight 175, another Boeing 767, also on a flight from Boston.
Hey, can you look out your window right now? Can you see a guy at about 4,000 feet, about 5 East Airport right now? Looks like he's...
Yeah, hi, Sam.
You see a guy, look, is he descending for the building also?
He's descending really quick, too, yeah.
Well, that's...
2,500 feet now. He just dropped 800 feet in like one sweep.
That's another situation.
Another one just hit the building.
Well,
hit
it hard. Another one just hit the roof.
The whole building just came apart.
Oh,
they crashed the jet into the South Tower of the World Trade Center a short time after the first plane hit the North Tower.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
That looks like a second plane. That, you just saw another plane coming in from the side.
You did. That was out of...
Yes, and that's the second explosion. You could see the plane come in. So this looks like it is some sort of a concerted effort to attack the World Trade Center that is underway in downtown New York.
The Twin Towers each had 110 floors. They were the tallest buildings in New York and among the tallest in the world. They stood a few streets away from the New York Stock Exchange in the heart of the Wall Street Financial District in Lower Manhattan.
Oh my God!
Oh my goodness, there's another one.
The planes exploded in fireballs that sent clouds of smoke pouring from the skyscrapers. Thousands of people were in the buildings. Many workers on the floors below where the planes hit were able to escape. Others on the floors above were trapped. Some apparently felt their only choice was between burning to death and jumping. News cameras showed disturbing images of bodies falling from the towers. The South Tower of the World Trade Center collapsed just before 10 o'clock, after burning for almost an hour. The North Tower came down about 30 minutes later. It had been hit first and had burned for 1 hour and 42 minutes.
The second building that was hit by the plane has just completely collapsed. The entire building has just collapsed, as if a demolition team set off, when you see the old demolitions of these old buildings, down on itself, and it is not there anymore.
Investigators later found that the intense fires from the jet fuel, burning for as long as they had caused the structures to fail. The ruins of the two buildings quickly became known as Ground Zero. Several other buildings in the World Trade Center complex were damaged or destroyed as a result of the collapse of the Twin Towers. Another group of hijackers took over American Airlines Flight 77, a Boeing 757. The plane had taken off from Washington Dulles International Airport.
Okay, American Airlines is still airborne. He's heading towards Washington. I think we need to scramble Langley right now, and I'm gonna take the fighters from Otis and try to chase this guy down if I can find him.
Mick Leshefsky has some new information at the Pentagon. I hope you'll stand by and continue to talk with us. Mick?
Katie, I don't want to alarm anybody right now, but it felt just a few moments ago like there was an explosion of some kind here at the Pentagon.
The hijackers crashed the plane into the Pentagon, the Department of Defense headquarters, across the Potomac River from Washington in Arlington, Virginia.
We're on the E-ring of the Pentagon. We have a window that faces out toward the Potomac, toward the Kennedy Center. We haven't been able to see or hear anything after the initial blast. I just stepped out in the hallway. Security guards were herding people out of the building. And I saw just a moment ago as I looked outside, a number of construction workers who have been working here have taken flight. They're running as far away from the building as they can right now.
The plane exploded a hole into one of the five sides of the huge building. And four hijackers seized United Airlines Flight 93, another 757. That plane had taken off from Newark, New Jersey.
United 93, that traffic through is 1 o'clock, 12 miles east on 370.
Negative contact, we're looking at United 93.
People on the flight learned about the terrorist attacks in New York and Washington through phone calls to loved ones.
It looks like he descended there.
I don't think so. United 93, verify 350.
United 93, Cleveland.
Go ahead, Frankie.
Do you have United 93 south of Chardon?
We hear some funny noises. We're trying to get him.
Do you have him?
No.
Some of the 40 passengers and crew members fought to retake control of the plane from the hijackers.
United 93 was waving his wings as he went past the VFR aircraft. They don't quite know what that means. Rocking his wings.
Air traffic controllers and law enforcement officials struggled to make sense of the events taking place that morning.
United 93, have you got information on that yet?
Yeah, he's down.
He's down?
Yes.
When did he land? Because we have information.
He did not land.
Oh, he's down?
Yes,
down?
Somewhere up northeast of Camp David.
Okay, there is now on the United 93.
Yes.
There is a report of black smoke in the last position I gave you. 15 miles south of Johnstown.
Flight 93 crashed in a field near the small town of Shanksville, Pennsylvania. The intended target for Flight 93 may have been the Capitol, the building where Congress meets. No one could be sure if other airliners were involved in the terrorist operation.
The Federal Aviation Administration has actually gone even further than it did a few minutes ago. It was asking all planes not to take off. Now the FAA has ordered all aircraft currently in the air over the United States to land at the nearest airport.
Air traffic controllers began the complex job of getting all planes across the country and those heading in over the Atlantic onto the ground safely.
So this meant at very early in the morning, as flights were halfway across the Atlantic Ocean to land in the United States, we had already initiated protocols to shut those arrivals off from the oceanic areas, and they had to make tough decisions such as either turn around and go back to Europe or go to alternate destinations, which many of them did in Canada.
Canadian officials assisted. They allowed flights from across the Atlantic to land in eastern Canada, including at airports in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and Gander, Newfoundland. Almost 3,000 people died in the 9/11 attacks.
You got it coming in from building number 2 on the 97th floor. People traveling.
9/11. We're all around the building. We're completely around the building. We're into the building now. Okay.
Most of the victims worked in the World Trade Center.
Battalion 7, Operation Tower 1.
The victims also included rescuers. Among them, 343 New York City firefighters. They died trying to save others. Pictures of missing persons began to appear in the city as loved ones waited and worried. 3 days after the attacks, President Bush went to Ground Zero. He spoke to the rescue workers and promised that the attacks would be answered.
I want you all to know, America today is on bended knee in prayer for the people whose lives were lost here, for the workers who work here, for the families who mourn. This nation stands with the good people of New York City and New Jersey and Connecticut as we mourn the loss of thousands of our citizens. I can hear you, the rest of the world hears you, and the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
Each day, thousands of visitors came to see the site and to honor those who died. At the Pentagon, people left flowers and messages of sympathy near the heavily damaged wall. 184 people died in the attack on the Pentagon, including the victims on the plane. It took months to clear the wreckage of the Twin Towers. The attacks in New York changed the distinctive skyline of Lower Manhattan. The Twin Towers, completed in 1973, were gone. The economic effects of 9/11 were felt far beyond America's largest city. The New York Stock Exchange stayed closed until September 17th. When it reopened, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, a measure of leading stocks, fell by what was then its biggest point drop ever in a single day. Among the companies most affected by the attacks were airlines and other businesses that depend on travelers. The nation's skies were empty of commercial flights for 3 days after the hijackings. And when flights returned to normal, many people were too afraid to fly. Thousands of hotel workers and others in the travel industry lost their jobs. The shock and sadness of the 9/11 attacks brought Americans together less than a year after the disputed presidential election. In a show of patriotism, more and more American flags began to appear on homes, cars, and businesses. Small American flag pins were worn by many Americans. The attacks pointed to the work of Osama bin Laden and his Al-Qaeda organization. On September 20th, President Bush went before a joint session of Congress to declare a war on terror.
Our war on terror begins with Al-Qaeda, but it does not end there. It will not end until every terrorist group of global reach has been found, stopped, and defeated.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.